are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. It's Wednesday morning, and the Minnesota Timberwolves will be back at it tonight at Target Center, hosting the San Antonio Spurs. Today, we're going to preview that matchup, including the injuries for both teams, the line for the game, and what we can expect to see out of the Wolves' rotation in this one, as well as how they match up against Greg Popovich's Spurs. Then we're going to take a quick look at the various power rankings around the league and where the Wolves stand week over week, now that we're into, week three of the season, so where they're ranked and how that changed after last week when the Wolves went, technically for the week, they went 1-3, although since most of those rankings were released, they won on Monday. So the rankings were certainly influenced by 1-3 week that saw the Wolves battle through some injuries that they're still fighting through, as well as the end of the Towns suspension last Monday when they lost to the Bucks. So that'll be in our final segment. First, we're going to talk Wolves Spurs. In regards to injuries for this game, the Spurs are relatively healthy. There's nobody listed on their injury report. Timberwolves fans would say that sounds nice, as we've now watched four games in a row with no point guards to speak of, at least in the starting lineup. Jeff Teague is listed for questionable for the game, or is listed as questionable for the game on Wednesday against the Spurs. He was on the bench for Monday's game in Detroit, appeared to be dressed in warmups and just kind of hanging out on the end of the bench. So he's obviously recovered enough from his illness, whatever that was, to be around the team. So there seems to be a decent shot he plays tonight, unless he's getting back into playing shape or, who knows. Don't want to speculate too much on what the illness was, but there seems to be a chance he'd be back tonight. Shabazz Napier is doubtful for the game, and he's been on the bench in street clothes. But, we don't know anything about whether or not he's been practicing, and it seems unlikely that he would suit up tonight if he's listed as doubtful. Jordan Bell, the Wolves are actually calling him out for the game, at least according to the Kyle Ratke scouting report on Timberwolves.com. Who knows how much he would be in the rotation anyways. So the big question is whether or not Jeff Teague will play, and if he does, how that would affect the backup point guard situation. Would that bump Jordan McLaughlin out of the rotation completely? And would the backup point be run by some combination of Jarrett Culver and Andrew Wiggins? Or would McLaughlin still get some of those minutes? So we'll see how that all ends up, tonight, and it all hinges really on whether or not Jeff Teague's able to play. The line for the game tonight is currently Minnesota -1.5. And that appears to be a fairly solid bet. The Spurs so far this season are 5-5. The Wolves, of course, are 6-4. The Spurs are coming off of, so 5-5 for the Spurs actually sits them, of course, one game behind the Wolves and just outside of the top eight in the Western Conference. Their point differentials are -0.5 compared to the Wolves -0.4. The Spurs are coming off of back-to-back losses. They've lost four of their last five games. After winning their first three to start the season, they've also only played two road games so far this season. This will only be their third road game. They lost at the Clippers and won at the Warriors. I'm sorry, this is their fourth road game. Lost at the Clippers and the Hawks and won at the Warriors back when D'Angelo Russell was out. So their only road win was against a D'Angelo Russell-less Los Angeles Clippers squad. Most recently, they've lost back-to-back games against the Celtics and then the Grizzlies just the other night. And that was a home game when they retired Tony Parker's jersey. But Ja Morant and the rest of the Memphis Grizzlies were too much for the Spurs in that one. They lost by 4 to Memphis. Of course, the Wolves lost on the road to the Grizzlies just last week as well. So certainly appears to be a winnable game for the Timberwolves. We'll talk about what that matchup looks like here in just a moment. In terms of style of play so far this season for the Spurs, they're predictably last in the NBA in three-point attempts, which is something that they finished last year last in three-point attempts too, and it wasn't particularly close. It's just a perfect example of Popovich adjusting his team's playing style to the personnel that he has and taking advantage of the holes in opposing defenses. This could be a really interesting matchup. The Timberwolves' new defensive scheme allows is basically exists to allow point guards to get mid-range jumpers, and ideally they're not wide open. The Wolves have been killed by some opposing point guards so far this year. Going back to Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets on opening night, there's Ja Morant in Memphis. There, of course, was D'Angelo Russell's 52 last Friday night, and there were a couple others in there that I'm forgetting. But the Spurs will take open mid-range jumpers all day long. I mean, their best player is supposed to be DeMar DeRozan, and he shoots about attempts about a half a three-pointer a game, and his bread and butter is the mid-range game, and he's very good at it. The Spurs, when they shoot threes, are 35.1%, which is middle of the pack and much better than the Wolves, who are, I think, around 31% at this point. The Spurs also do a fairly good job of taking care of the ball. They don't actually get to the free throw line that often because, again, the mid-range game is every bit as important to them as getting into the paint and shooting in the paint. So far this season, DeMar DeRozan's actually had a fairly rough go of it. Again, not really shooting three-pointers. He's a little below 50% from the field and hasn't really found his stride and defensively either. But he's still their best player. And then LaMarcus Aldridge is having a good season so far as well. He's now 34 years old, but still obviously a very good player. Only averaging a little over 6 rebounds a game, but 17 points, shooting 51% from the field. And he's actually taking a little more than a three-pointer game and shooting 25%. So that LaMarcus Aldridge is always a difficult matchup. So certainly that'll be the key thing to watch, is assuming the Wolves guard him with Karl-Anthony Towns in this game. There isn't nearly as much concern about getting into foul trouble against Aldridge as maybe against Andre Drummond or some of the other big guys Towns faces. Aldridge isn't going to be banging the glass nearly as hard as a guy like Andre Drummond, or even, you know, some of the other big men that Towns has had those foul trouble issues with, even to Blake Griffin, who the Wolves also saw on Monday. And also Aldridge he still plays in the post a bit. He's more in the high post and shooting mid-range jumpers than he is down low on the low block. So should be an okay matchup for Towns. The key matchup to look out for is the Derek White matchup. And we're going to get into that here in a moment and what the Wolves need to look out for from the Spurs. Before we do that, I wanted to quickly mention our new friends at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA. As I mentioned last segment, the Wolves defense has given up quite a few points to some to any point guard that is willing and able to hit a mid-range jumper. And in some cases that's worked because it's minimized the number of threes that opposing teams have taken. And there's a reason the Wolves are trying to force two-point shots. It's obviously a better shot for the defense to give up than a three-point shot. The problem is when they're so completely wide open and the other team is so talented to make the majority of those attempts. And that's what they ran into. You know, thankfully they held on and beat D'Angelo Russell and they beat Kyrie Irving, which I guess is kind of case in point related to the defensive strategy. But the Wolves are doing overall a good job of trying to limit those three-point attempts from opponents. So far for the season, they are seventh in giving up three-point attempts, but they're actually 21st in three-point makes. And so, unfortunately, teams are making, I think Fox Sports North ran this stat the other day during one of the games over the weekend, the Wolves are last in the league and allowing a wide open field goal percentage, not the number of wide open shots, but the percentage the teams are shooting on those wide open shots. So there certainly should be some regression to the mean there from opponents. And that will serve to help the Timberwolves. Again, it won't necessarily happen against the Spurs because the Spurs don't shoot that many threes. They only attempt about 26 threes a game, 26 and a half threes a game. And they're a decent 3-point shooting team when they do shoot them. But what the Wolves will need to be focused on doing is slowing down the guys on this team that are super comfortable shooting those shots. And of course, their best players, Aldridge and DeRozan, are mid-range artists. So DeRozan is the key one. If he's operating in the pick and roll, or if he's operating near the top of the key, the Wolves need to be cognizant of his He wants to shoot a mid-range jumper. He's not trying to launch a three hardly ever. And he's only sometimes trying to get to the rim. So I'm sure the coaching staff is covering that, but I think the player to look out for that could cause some damage in this game will be the guards. So Devontae Murray, certainly. But Derek White, I think, has been really good so far this year. He's not a player that a lot of people know much about. He's averaging about 12 points a game, 2.2 assists a game, shooting 47.7% from the field and 40% from beyond the arc, and essentially runs the offense off the bench for the Spurs. So he's somebody to look out for. He started most of the games last year for a 48-win Spurs team. He started, I guess, 55 games, was hurt for a little while, and averaged 10 points, 4 assists a game. So his scoring average is up a bit. His three-point shooting percentage is up a bit. And he's somebody to watch off the bench, especially if the Wolves have some sort of weird point guard rotation in the event that Teague returns. So I would definitely keep an eye out for Derek White in this game, as the Spurs' strengths kind of line up, unfortunately, pretty well with what the Wolves are trying to do defensively. Clearly things are, I guess the obvious caveat here is the Wolves are a much different team than they were last year. But last year between the Wolves and the Spurs, the Wolves lost three times. They were 1-3 against the Spurs. They had lost on opening night in San Antonio. Then the second matchup was in Minnesota, and they won easily. That was a game that the Timberwolves won by, 39 points, I think, 128-89 in that game. Because it was such a laugher, DeRozan only played 28 minutes. LaMarcus Aldridge only played 24 minutes, and they each only scored 10 points. For the Wolves, Towns had 16 points, 11 rebounds in just 28 minutes. They also got 16 points off the bench from Derrick Rose. Josh Okogie had a good game, 12 points. And then Robert Covington actually led the way with 21 points, 9 rebounds. So that was last season. That game was right after Thanksgiving. So about a month before Covington got hurt, you know, just a couple weeks after the trade. So certainly a good time of year for the Wolves to take on the Spurs. It'd be nice to see Covington have a similar night as to what he did last year. He's been struggling lately, not just from beyond the arc, but overall. And one wonders how much his knee's bothering him at this stage. But that'll certainly be something to keep an eye on from the Wolves' perspective, is what Covington's able to do. And then obviously the Towns-Aldridge dynamic as they're guarding each other. This is a game I do think the Wolves will win, although they, for good reason, have struggled historically against the Spurs. But I'm going to go ahead and pick the Wolves to win this game and to cover the point and a half. I think they'll win by a couple possessions, 4 or 5 points. Towns is due for a good game, and this is an interior that he should be able to do some damage against. Jakob Poeltl off the bench for the Spurs is somebody that Towns should be able to, you know, he should be able to overpower him, take him out to the perimeter and shoot threes if he wants to. But look for the Wolves to try and get a few more post touches. In terms of pace, the Wolves are still playing extremely fast. They're top five in pace in the league. Although that game against the Nuggets on Sunday, almost just in one game, drugged the Wolves back from like top in the league in pace to fourth or fifth. And then the Spurs are middle of the pack. So they'll play however fast or slow they need to. And they're not going to be forced into shooting threes. They're not going to be, obviously as a well-coached team, the Wolves aren't necessarily going to be able to have their way in terms of dictating how the game is played. So should be a fun one. Absolutely. And here's hoping the Wolves can at least force DeRozan and Aldridge into some tougher mid-range attempts and maybe make them put the ball on the floor and try and get to the basket, where the Wolves' interior defense has actually been really good so far this year. My prediction is that will happen tonight, and the Timberwolves will end up with a win. Next up, we're going to talk about the power rankings around the league, how far the Wolves slipped in some of the more prominent rankings. So we'll talk about that next. One of the things I like to do weekly on this podcast is to go back and look at the four of the more prominent power rankings from around the NBA, the NBA blogosphere, if you will, from some of the more reputable sites, see where they've ranked the Wolves and how they've overreacted or underreacted to the week. Of course, this could be done for every team in terms of the overreaction and underreaction, but wanted to key in a little bit on what some of these sites are saying about the Wolves. last week on ESPN, the Timberwolves were ranked number 12 after they had climbed from from 15 in week one. And now the Wolves have slid back down to number 16, which is tied for, I guess, from the four rankings we'll look at. That seems to be almost a consensus. ESPN doesn't give a whole lot of reason for their ranking. It's hard to argue with the middle of the pack ranking for the Wolves as they are, you know, headed into the week. They were, 5-4 prior to the win over over the Pistons on Monday. NBA.com's rankings are a lot more, I think they're a lot more impactful because they actually list some reasoning and have some interesting statistics that they list to go with it. The Wolves did fall from number 7, where they were their highest ranking of all power rankings last week was at NBA.com at number 7. They're now at number 13. And NBA.com cites, they at least acknowledge the point guard injuries that that really befell the Wolves in the past week, and that they gave up 137 points to one of the league's worst offenses in Memphis. But the NBA.com also mentions that Okogie and Covington went on the floor together this year for 79 total minutes together on the floor, have allowed less than a point per possession, which is incredible and really underscores, I think, what most Wolves fans believe, that Okogie is a fantastic defender and Robert Covington remains a really solid team defender, even if he's maybe not quite back yet from his knee injury and isn't quite the lockdown one-on-one defender that we're used to seeing. He's still a fantastic defender overall. The Wolves actually are still 12th in the league in defensive rating, and that's really carrying them as their offense has been bottom 10. And the only thing that's really helped them on offense is how fast they've played and the sheer volume of threes that they've gotten up and actually drawing a fair amount of fouls despite shooting so many perimeter shots, which I guess goes to the philosophy of shooting from beyond the arc and at the rim, and that's basically it. So NBA.com has the Wolves at 13, which is the highest ranking that they received this week. The other rankings that we'll look at, CBS Sports had the Wolves falling to number 16 from number 9, and doesn't really give much detail outside of some of the Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns push and pull in crunch time. The Wolves have been giving the ball to Wiggins a lot more lately than what we're used to seeing, and it's been working. So I can't imagine that there's going to be any trouble in paradise there because those guys both just want to win. And it's not like Towns isn't getting the opportunity to launch a ton of three-pointers per game, be really involved in the offense nonetheless. And then SI.com's The Crossover had the Wolves falling from 7 all the way to 16. So the biggest drop of any of the sites, a 9 spot drop after a 2-2 week with no point guards and Towns missing a game. So it seems a bit harsh, but I guess if you're not actually watching the games and just looking at their record and who they're losing to, I guess I can see that. Now this week, the Wolves have already beaten the Pistons. Looking quickly ahead at the schedule for the rest of the week, it's another 4-game week for the Wolves. After hosting the Spurs on Wednesday, the Wolves will host the Washington Wizards on Friday, who they, of course, blew out without Karl Anthony Towns a little over a week and a half ago. And then they'll have the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday against the Houston Rockets. So 3 home games in 4 days with the back-to-back in there. Finally, a homestand of more than 2 games. As so far, the Wolves have had 2 1-game homestands and 1 2-game homestand. The Wizards game is obviously going to be a very winnable contest. The Wizards are 2-6. And Houston, of course, as always, will be a lot more difficult. Houston's 7-3, but has won 4 in a row and playing much better of late, and including on the road. They haven't had a very difficult schedule. The only road team, they actually haven't beaten any road teams that are likely to be playoff teams, except for if you count the Pelicans and Bulls, who are both pretty fringy playoff teams. So it could be one of the tougher games so far this season for the Rockets, but nonetheless, not a game the Wolves will be favored in on the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday. So we'll see what's ahead in another 4-game week for the Wolves. They're off to a good start, 1-0 for the week with the win against the Pistons. But we'll be back on Thursday morning to recap the Spurs-Wolves game on Wednesday, pass along some studs and duds, and just some overall commentary on how that game went. That's all we have for you today. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.